Now let's continue on. Let's come here to Romans 6. And this helps answer the question that Guillermo brought up, where most people think, oh, yes, grace, you can do anything you want. See, we're free to choose whichever day we want. We're free to choose what we eat and don't eat. All right, Romans 6 and verse 1. What then shall we say? Now, this is conclusion of chapters 3, 4, and 5. Shall we continue in sin? And sin is what? Transgression of the law. Okay. What did we read earlier? The law warns us so we don't sin. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. Now, the King James says, God forbid, but the Greek means, may it never be. Matter of fact, one of the reviews that we got on the Bible was, they said that was really one of the features they liked of the translation because it was accurate and it was all in caps. Okay. May it never be. We who died to sin, and we're going to see that's baptism, see, because we enter into a special covenant baptism that is our pledge of death. And that then is joined to the death of Christ. And that pledge of death is that we will love God and serve Him and obey Him and walk in newness of life. So we're not to live any longer in sin. Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into the death. Now, that's a literal translation from the Greek, see? And that means His death, because His death is the death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we also should walk in newness of life. And what is this newness of life to be? It's to be changing, growing, overcoming, developing the mind of Christ, developing the love of God. Okay? Newness of life. For if we have been conjoined together in the likeness of His death, so also shall we be in the likeness of His resurrection. See, that's the hope of eternal life. Now, if God can take that little pinprick of life and create us out of that, think what He's going to do with us at the resurrection. And I don't think there is anything comparable that we can say is like unto eternal life, because we don't know. So here's what we have to do. And this is the lifelong thing that we do. Knowing this, that our old man was co-crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, because it's a process. That's why it talks about there in Ephesians 5 about the washing of the water of the word to sanctify the church. And sanctify means to be made holy. So through the process of living with God's commandments, having God's Spirit, using God's calling, living in His grace, having access to God, we what? We then are overcoming sin. The body of sin might be destroyed, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, what did we read in Psalm 19 about the laws and commandments so sin will not rule over us? Well, see, Paul uses exactly the same language here in Romans, the 6th chapter. Because the one who has died to sin has been justified from sin. Now, if we died together with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has any dominion over Him. For when He died once unto sin, once for all, but in that He lives unto God in the same way also. Now, this is our dedication to God. This is what we pledged in the baptism, see. You should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. Doesn't say you won't sin, see? Because we have access to have our sins forgiven. Okay? Now, we know that when we come, just turn a few pages back to 1 John, the first chapter. And this is what we understand, what we know, this is what we do. And really, the more we're converted, the more carnal you really see yourself to be. Not that you are getting worse. God is just exposing to you how bad you really were. See? That's what God is doing. It isn't that you aren't changing and overcoming. You are. But now you're ready for God's Spirit to expose to you the sin, the deep sin that is within. And then you have the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse it out. See? Now, I had a man write an email to me. He castigated me with terrible language and whatever. And he repented and sent back an email and apologized. And it was a very humble email. So I wrote him back, thank you, I appreciate that, apology accepted. Move on. See, that's what God wants us to do. Okay? Because sin causes us to do what we don't want to do. And after he wrote that, he knew he shouldn't have done it. So he did the proper thing and repented. So when he repented, what should I have said? Well, you should have known better than that. No. Apology accepted, forgiven. Move on. That's what God does with us. Okay? Now it says here in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 8, if we say we do not have sin, and that's the basic sum of Oprah Winfrey's New Age, whatever it is, it's not Christianity, okay? No sin. If it feels good to you, it's good, it's fine. God accepts you and all this sort of thing. God does not accept us as we are. He accepts us with repentance because we want to change what we are. Far different. If we say we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that is to God, through Christ, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to look at the way that he wrote this. The Apostle John wrote this after he had been a Christian for well over 60 years. And he says, if we, including himself, see, confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and you can't do that because God is not a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, let's come over here to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's see what the Spirit of God is to do for us, how we are to use it and exercise it, and how that gives us hope. And then we will see the greatest tool for overcoming contained in the Word of God. All right? Chapter 8, verse 8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, those who don't have the Holy Spirit of God cannot please God because they're carnal-minded, and that's enmity against God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling in you. Now, that's how God looks at you. Now, that's not how we perceive ourselves. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So this is why the covenant baptism is so important. Because there are a lot of people who are able of their own will to appear to be doing very well. But that doesn't mean they're converted, see? Now, we can take someone who's lived a life of sin and gone through a whole lot of difficulty, you know. we can say, yeah, I can really see how they're changing. Then along comes someone who is very nice by nature, and we forget that niceness, just of and by itself, unless they're converted, it's fine that they're nice, but they're still sinners, right? They may be nice, but they keep Christmas. Uh-oh. They may be nice, but they keep Sunday. Uh-oh. They may be nice, but they're divorced. Uh-oh. See? So niceness of human nature is still carrying around the law of sin and death within in them. And so they can't be viewed as spiritual. But God views us as spiritual, see? Verse 10, but if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. You buried it in the grave of water. Now you repent every day. When you sin, you're warned, you change, you repent. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because we are looking forward to eternal life. See? Now if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. That agrees 100% with Psalm 19, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's how God deals with us today, to lead us with the reins. Try the reins and try the heart. Now you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. So we have this close personal relationship with God. That's why we study every day. That's why we pray every day. That's why all during the day you may be praying in your mind while you're working, while you're driving. That's fine. Just make sure that's not your only prayers. Make sure that you pray on your knees every day, because that shows that we're really yielding to God and wanting his Spirit, see. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Are. And if we are children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And he's going to inherit the universe, and we're going to be right there along with him. And there are probably more than 360 trillion galaxies out there. If in one blank space of the heavens they can find so many, they can calculate that, I wonder if they'd train it on other so-called blank spaces in the heavens and see what they would come up with. But notice, if indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. So these are the tribulations that we'll go through, the trials we will go through. All of this is to develop character. All of this is to develop love. Now we'll see this. The best way to overcome is through love. Now, we know what Jesus said. As I mentioned on Church at Home here for some Church at Home videos that we're going to do, everyone wants the love of God to them. Okay? But how many want to love God back? They love the verse where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Oh, they love that. And one of the new stars in the National Football League just got drafted out of college last year, and he is quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Well, those little black patches that they put under their eyes so the sun won't reflect and cause them to not have good vision, he had those printed, John 3:16. And Huckabee interviewed him on his program and said, well, why did you do that? Well, in hopes that someone would see that and that might inspire them. Everyone wants the love of God. But does everyone want to love God back? And how do you do that? I was reminded by my lovely wife that she saw the program, and on his Facebook that he has up online with that, he had well over 1 million hits because people didn't know what that was. 4 million? How much?
Million.
Several million. Okay. But after they found out what it was, what did it do for them? How many just looked at it, woohoo, and go right on their way? Oh, that's interesting. All right, let's see what Jesus said. Come back here to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Here's what God wants. You see, even God loves atheists by giving them food and air, breath, okay, giving them life, even giving them the choice and freedom to reject him and castigate him. But one day, the reckoning is going to come. Okay. So the Jews always like to debate, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So one of the doctors of the law came tempting him and asked that question. So Jesus answered in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, how many people are really doing that back toward God for what he did in loving you, in creating you, you see? With all your soul and with all your mind. Now, doesn't that sound like a pretty full-time occupation? Yes, it does. That's a full-time thing that needs to be done, see? This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, everyone likes to hear about love. They may agree with this, but they don't agree with what I'm going to read here. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So all of God's laws are based on love. Now the whole way that we are called to live is also a way of love. Now let's come here to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And this is called the love chapter. While we're turning there, if you have a King James, I never could figure out when I was first studying the Bible before I began learning the Greek, why, 1 Corinthians 13, okay, why the translators translated the Greek word agape, which means love, as charity. Well, the truth is, there were those on the committees translating the King James that were Latinist, and they wanted to put in charity so they would have their signature of, we're Latinist. Now, when you go to 1 John, and you go to the book of John, Gospel of John, the Greek agape is translated love. And so this is what it should read. Now, the very last verse here in 1 Corinthians 12 reads this, but earnestly desire the more edifying gifts. They're talking about all kinds of gifts of preaching and wisdom and different things like that. Yet I show you a way far surpassing all of these. King James says a more excellent way. So here it is. That's the lead into chapter 13. Starts right out with vanity. Remember what Solomon wrote? Vanity of vanities, all of vanity. A man at his very best state is altogether vanity. Okay. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, now wouldn't you be looked up to in the world if you could stand there and boldly say to everyone, I can speak all the languages of men, and I can speak 10 languages of angels. Ooh, yes. But do not have love. So how important is love, you see? I have become. Now the King James says as or like, but it's not in the Greek. I have become a sounding brass or a clanking cymbal. Or we could add another one in there. Scratching backwards on a blackboard. If I have the gift of prophecy. Well, Harold Camping missed out on that, didn't he? He thought he had it. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Now, all of those would be tremendous, notable deeds. All right? Verse 3. And if I give away all my goods, especially on television, so I get publicity, and if I deliver my body so that I may be burned, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. And I used to think of that when they showed from the Vietnam War, you know, the Buddhist monks had doused themselves with gasoline and light themselves and burn themselves up. What did they do? Did they change the world? Did they end the war? No. I think they're going to be surprised when they're resurrected in the second resurrection. Oh, this is nirvana. No, no. You got that wrong. This is the earth. Now, we'll talk about true spirituality. All right? Here's what shows that love is how we overcome. Notice what love produces. Love is patient, but it probably takes time to get there, right? Yes. That's why we need to be overcoming daily. And is kind. Now, the next time you really get angry, think about that. Love envies not. Does not brag about itself, is not puffed up. I think for the sins of the ministry in the past, I think the first four verses apply to them more than anything else. And I have my lovely wife to always remind me. Just talk for it. Love does not behave itself disgracefully, does not seek its own things, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Now, that's where you need the washing of the water of the word, right? Yes, indeed. And there are a lot of helpers around to get you to thinking evil. You have, you know, television. You have iPhones, Blackberries. Well, they're called smartphones now. They, you know, even the Blackberry is getting outdated now. So it's the smartphone. But I'll tell you what. If you put everything that you operate and you have that phone and you lose it and you haven't been using your own noggin, you're going to be in trouble. You know, like I did with my wallet. I hid my wallet so I couldn't find it. What if someone hid your smartphone so you couldn't find it? What would you do? Have you memorized all the phone numbers you put on your smartphone where you just call up the name and punch it and it rings the number? Do you know what the number is? And so you have 100 numbers on there. Do you know them all? You know. You transact all your banking business on there. See? Well, if you watch church at home, that'll be good. Maybe that'll help you. But whatever. Okay. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And that's what we are to have, the truth. The truth. That's what we're dedicated to, the truth of God. And in translating and putting together the Bible and everything that we do, it is the truth. Whatever the truth is, that's what we want. Okay? We don't want anything else. The truth. Sometimes it's a little painful because it gets rid of sin. Love bears all things regardless of the trial and difficulty. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Perfect way to overcome, right? Love never fails. So if you strive after love, you're not going to fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Whether there be languages, they shall cease. Same word in the Greek. Whether there be knowledge, that is knowledge we have now, it shall vanish away. Do you remember what you first learned the day that you walked in the door to go to kindergarten? No. That knowledge has been replaced with everything else you've learned as an adult. Likewise, when we're resurrected. What about human knowledge? Hey, we'll have godly knowledge. It's Isn't that better? Yes, indeed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't have it all. Let's not get big eagles and big heads and start, you know, prating around like little banty roosters. But when that is perfect is come, and that's the whole goal, to be perfect. That's what Jesus said in his very first sermon. When we get to the end of Matthew 5, and the last verse is verse 48, it says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So Jesus stated the goal from the very first, see? But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be set aside. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I set aside the things of a child. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. And what is that going to be like? See God face to face and worship the Father. Not something? You look directly in his eyes and he looks in your eyes. What a day that's going to be. Now I know in part, but then I shall know exactly as I have been known. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. See, so that's why we are to walk by faith, believe in hope, and live in love. So chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is the perfect scriptural recipe or guide, or however you want to list it, to overcoming carnal nature with the Spirit of God, the love of God. Okay. Well, all of that comes from watching the video before we had services. So what we're going to do, as you have already seen, we have added it on to the front of this video. So we'll conclude right here. Should we put it on the front and back? The beginning and ending? What's going to be the title of this? The Greatest Handiwork of God. How's that? For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.